We're going to turn and look at Luke chapter 24 and verses 36 through to 49. I'm going to read them to us, and in a minute we're going to spend some time thinking about them. But if you have a Bible, do turn to it. Luke 24 and verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Well, here's the first question. What does the word peace mean? I'm kind of looking for younger people rather than adults. What does the word peace mean? Any ideas? Yeah, Oscar? Quiet? It does mean that, doesn't it? It does mean quiet, yeah. Any other ideas? Calm. I like that as well. It does, doesn't it? Kind of quiet and calm are good ideas, isn't it? I think the word peace has, well, it can mean kind of two things. Well, one of my favorite books that I like to read to the kids when they were younger was this book, Peace at Last. People remember it? That's a great story. You know, Mr. Bear, Mrs. Bear, Baby Bear. It's late and they're tired. And they go to bed. And up they go, and, well, Mrs. Bear fell asleep, and Mr. Bear didn't. And Mrs. Bear began to snore. Snore went Mrs. Bear, snore, snore, snore. "Oh, no," says Mr. Bear, "I can't stand this." So he goes to Baby Bear's room, and in Baby Bear's room, what's happening? Baby Bear is playing with an aeroplane. Naughty boy. It's late. And yet he's going around, meow, meow. Now, I want to just say at this point, why does the dad just not go, "No"? Seriously. Anyway, not the point of the story. So Baby Bear's making a noise, and so Dad, Mr. Bear, goes downstairs, and he goes to the living room, and in the living room he tries to get to sleep, but the cuckoo clock is making a lot of noise, tick-tock, tick-tock. So he thinks, "No, I'll go to the kitchen." In the kitchen, the tap is drip, 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 and the refrigerator is going, whoa. So he can't go there, he can't go to sleep there. So he goes down to the garden, and in the garden under the tree, he thinks, "This is it, I'm going to sleep." But oh no, the owls are twit, twit, twing, and the cows are meow, meow, meowing, and the hedgehogs are snuffling. So he thinks, "I'm getting in the car." Now it was cold in the car and uncomfortable in the car, but he thinks, "I'm going to get some sleep in the car." But the sun starts to come up and the birds start to sing and tweet and tweet and tweet. He thinks, "Oh no, I can't sleep here." So he goes back to bed. And Baby Bear was fast asleep, and Mrs. Bear had turned over and wasn't snoring anymore. And Mr. Bear got into his bed and he closed his eyes. "Peace at last," he says to himself, and then the alarm clock goes off and he has to have a cup of tea. But it's that moment, isn't it? He'd found that the calm and the quiet, that's one meaning of peace, calm and quiet and still and restful. And at that moment, as he gets into bed, do you have these problems where your mind starts to whirl and your kind of things are thinking, but he has none of that. He's no longer worried or scared or afraid. Peace. It's quiet. He's at rest. He can sleep. That's one reason, one meaning of the word peace, isn't it? Another way that you can understand peace is, well, the World War. At the end of the World War, England fought Germany and a few others. And what happened? Germany surrendered, and there was peace. There was no more fighting. There was no more bombs. There was no more gun fights. There was peace. And those who were enemies were now, well, could become friends, except on the football pitch. And they're friends, no longer enemies. They were at peace. Two meanings. First one, calm and quiet and rest and still. Second one, friends between enemies. Peace. No more. Peace at last. Now, why does it matter what this word peace means? Well, because look at what the first thing Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 36, we read, whilst they were still talking about this, what have they been talking about? Well, they've been talking about what had happened. You can imagine it. They're all in the room, aren't they? And they're getting together. And the women are going, can you believe it? We went to the tomb and there was an angel there. And the angel said that Jesus is risen. And we came back and we told you guys. And Peter then ran to the tomb, verse 12. He had a look inside. Jesus wasn't there. He was a little bit amazed and at war and wonder, verse 12. And he then runs back. And then they hear the story of these two guys on the road to Emmaus who are walking along. And Jesus walks with them and he teaches them all of this. And he breaks bread and they suddenly understand it's Jesus with them. And whilst they're talking about all of this, being a little bit afraid because the people who killed Jesus are still out there, while all of this is happening and they're talking about this, Jesus, verse 36, stood among them and he said to them, peace. Peace be with you. He doesn't say, hello, good to see you. He doesn't say, it's me, I'm really back. He doesn't get angry with them for abandoning him while he was being crucified. Doesn't yell at them for not standing with him in that moment of need. There's no disgust or disappointment that they fled at the moment he most needed a friend. No, he says, peace. Peace be with you. Because you see, when Jesus entered that closed room, his disciples were deeply troubled. They were afraid of the religious leaders who had killed their master. They were plagued with guilt because of the way they'd let Jesus down in his time of suffering. They were troubled. They were confused. They had reports that Jesus had been raised. And now here he is. The one they deserted. The one they disbelieved. And he said, peace be with you. Remember our two meanings? Peace of rest and quiet and overall sense of, peace at last. And then there's the peace between two enemies. And Jesus' death and resurrection has achieved both. You see, the resurrected Jesus brings us peace with God. See, firstly, the resurrected Jesus brings us peace with God. When God created the world, it was characterized by peace. Everything in the Garden of Eden flourished. Every relationship was harmonious. Human beings lived at peace with each other. They lived at peace with God. They lived at peace with creation. The world was exactly as it ought to be. Exactly as we would want it to be. There was no sadness, there was no worry, there was no guilt, there was no death. And Adam's sin, and in turn ours, changed all that. Our sin broke the peace. It vandalized the goodness of creation. It brought in trouble and strife and anger and worry and broken relationships and everything that makes you feel that things are not peaceful. And you know what that feels like. You're at home. Family life is blissful. It's peaceful. There's harmony between parents and between children. And then what happens? One of the children disobeys their parents. None of you guys. And in their disobedience, they are unkind to their brother or their sister, they shout at their brother or their sister, or they steal, or they hit, or they punch, or they lie, or something happens, and what happens? There's no longer peace in that household. The parents begin to tell the kids off, and the kids start to get angry, and then the parents get angry and start shouting, and suddenly tension is arising, and suddenly everything is not peaceful, it's noisy, and everyone feels tense and out of sorts with one another. We don't like it. And our sin, our disobedience towards God, has brought that feeling to the world. Things are not as they should be. And right at the very heart, the very cause of this restlessness, is a brokenness of relationship with God. Because of our sin and our disobedience, God is angry with us. We stand under his judgment. We're not friends with God. We're enemies with God. We're at war with God. And we feel it. We feel out of sorts with God. We're not at peace, and we're searching for meaning and understanding. We're restless because of it. We're under God's judgment. But Jesus says to his disciples, the first day as he meets them on that resurrection day, peace be with you. Because on the cross, Jesus took the anger of God against the sins of his people, and he took everything that prevented there being peace between God and us. I don't know whether you've seen this, you probably have an illustration, forget the book, but imagine this is us, and that is God, that light over there is God, he's holy, he's perfect. Get out of a relationship. Problem is, there's our sin that kind of blocks that relationship with God. We no longer can have a right relationship with him. In the beginning, we could, but in Adam's sin, and we in turn sinned, we disobeyed God. Now, we can't have a relationship with God. We're no longer at peace with God. And more than that, his judgment is upon us. There's no peace. There's no rest. But Jesus, well, he's perfect, and he came along, and he has a perfect relationship with God, and he never disobeyed God, and he's perfectly at peace with God. And on Good Friday on the cross, he took all our sin, and he took God's judgment, so it now fell on him. And on the cross, he had no peace with God. He was abandoned by God for our sin and for our judgment. But look what happens to us. If we're trusting in Jesus, now I can have a relationship with God. Now I can be at peace with God. I was an enemy with God, but now I can be friends with God because of Jesus. And because of Jesus' resurrection, he's risen from the dead, he's alive, and he's restored because he is the King, and we can have a relationship with him. We can have peace with God because of Jesus. Because he died and he rose again. I can have peace with God. Jesus took the anger of God against the sins of his people. He took away everything that prevented there being peace between God and us. See, the resurrected Jesus brings us peace with God. Remember that second meaning of peace? Two nations, one surrenders. They can have peace, no longer enemies. Because Jesus has died and risen again, that can be true for us if we're trusting in Jesus. And because of that, it transforms, it restores, it reverses everything else. See, the resurrected Jesus brings us peace with God, but now the resurrected Jesus brings us peace now within. You see, if our broken relationship with God meant that there was restlessness and anger and strife and non-peace, as it were, now because I'm at peace with God, it must mean that I can have peace in other areas of my life and in my relationship with others as well. I can have that second sense, like Mr. Bear. Oh, peace at last. As followers of Jesus, we can begin to live, as it were, in that peace now because of his death and resurrection. Because we're now at peace with God, we can have peace with ourselves and with others, that rest, that happiness, that contentment. See, if I'm trusting in Jesus, I have peace with God, and it works itself out in lots of ways. But for one, look, I no longer need to feel guilty. I no longer need to feel guilty because of my sin. Again, you know what that's like, you know, especially if you're a kid and you've lied to your mum and dad, and in lying to your mum and dad, you keep telling more and more lies. And what happens inside? You feel pretty wretched, don't you? Until the moment, of course, when you actually finally go and tell the truth. And what happens when you tell the truth? You feel good. And suddenly you go, oh, there's a peace. Well, because I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, I no longer need to feel guilty about my sin, because Jesus' death and resurrection has dealt with it. I'm now in a right relationship with God. I can feel that sense of peace. I have, you can say it with me, peace. My sin is dealt with. And if I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, well, I know what happens to me when I die. My granddad, my dear granddad, he used to worry about dying all the time. Every day, in the night, worried about dying. He would worry when he was having his coffee, he'd worry when he was eating his dinner, he would worry in the evening, he would just worry about dying, bless him. But you see, if I'm following and trusting Jesus and I have peace with God, I no longer need to worry about dying. I no longer need to be fearful or scared or worry about the scariest of things that happens to us, because I know where I'm going. I know that I'm going to be with Jesus and in eternity with him. So I no longer need to be fretful or worried or stressed, because I have peace with God, and so I can have peace now. And I can understand who I am, that I'm made for a relationship with God, and that determines how I'm to live. You see, if I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, I know that actually I'm designed and made and created to worship God and live for him and serve him and live as his child. So I don't need to spend my life worried and restless and trying to work out what it is I'm supposed to do or who I am. I have peace. And I can have peace with my own limitations and sufferings. You see, if I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, I know that even though I have limitations and I can't do everything and there's suffering now, I know I can look forward to a better world to come. And so I can have peace. And because I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, I'm at peace when I do good and I'm at peace when I do wrong, because I know my good deeds do not earn me God's love and my bad ones cannot lose it. I have peace. And because I'm trusting in Jesus and I'm at peace with God, it means I'm in relationship with God, which means I'm in relationship with the creator of the universe, the one who made all things, so that when troubling situations arise, or when I'm faced with a difficulty, I don't have to face it on my own. I've got the creator on my side, and he promises to do good for all those who love him. So a couple of weeks ago, I had to have a tooth out. Actually, I didn't have it out. They knocked off the top of the tooth. And I had to have it under general anaesthetic. And between you and me and a few others, I was a little bit nervous, a little bit worried about having a general anaesthetic. Never had one. I'm virtually 40 and never had to go into hospital, praise God. But here I was. And I've seen my sons have generals. I've seen my wife had generals. So I was a little bit anxious. But because I'm trusting in Jesus and I have peace with God, and because I have peace with God, he's the creator of the universe, the sovereign one, he's in charge of all things, I know that he's the best person to turn to. And I can trust that he will look after me. And in that situation when I was nervous and anxious and worried, and you can probably think of others, what happens? I had peace. And because I'm trusting Jesus and I have peace with God, I can handle difficult relationships at work and at school and in my family in a more peaceful manner. Because if the most important relationship in my life with God is marked by peace, that peace then begins to mark how I treat others. I want to treat them in a peaceful way, not shouting or not seeking to be unkind or unloving. I want to be peaceful towards them, because I have peace. I have rest, like Mr. Bear, because all that's disturbing me and all that troubles me, all that worries me, can be given to God, because I'm at peace with God. See how Jesus' words on that first Sunday are hugely significant. Because if I'm trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection, then I can have peace with God. And if I have peace with God, that transforms my life now. It means that I can have peace in my life now. Not just with God, but with others and with myself. because I can have peace. Oh, peace at last. But here's a question, how can I be certain? I mean, how can I be certain that Jesus really is alive? And how can I be certain that he'll really bring me peace? And how can I be certain he'll really bring me peace with God and peace within and peace now? Well, just quickly note what happens in the rest of our passage. In the disciples seeing Jesus were frightened, they were troubled, and doubts were rising in their minds, verse 38. And what does Jesus do? He gives them evidence. Firstly, he says, look, I'm alive. Jesus is alive. And he shows that he is alive. Verse 39, look at my hands and my feet. It's myself. Touch me. See. He ate a piece of broiled fish. In other words, it's not a ghost. I mean, I don't know much about ghosts, but it seems certain to me they don't have bones and they don't eat fish. In other words, Jesus is properly alive. He's a proper human being. He's risen. First bit of evidence, he says, look, I am alive. Because I'm alive, you can have peace, peace with God and peace within. He really has paid for our sins and defeated death. But secondly, look what else he says, verse 44 to 47. He says, scriptures are fulfilled. The scriptures are fulfilled. In other words, all that happened was part of God's plan. Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection. None of this was outside of the plan of God. In fact, it had been foretold years, centuries before. See how verse 44? Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Everything. Everything from that first promise and hint that we're going to have one who will come and bring us peace in Genesis 3. One who would destroy the devil and crush serpent's head. From that very first promise through to the promises in Isaiah of a servant who would come and die and suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Everything was fulfilled. All that had happened was part of God's plan. In other words, these are not ideas dreamed up by the disciples. This wasn't a divine afterthought. The evidence of the room, the evidence of Scripture, is that Jesus is risen and alive. And that's given us great confidence that right now, in all the ups and downs of life, through all our fears and failures, Jesus says, peace be with you. Scriptures are fulfilled. Jesus is alive. And the third and final bit of evidence is the witnesses proclaimed it. The disciples were to be witnesses of this, to be bold. These same disciples who were locked away in a room out of fear would go and preach this good news. And even when they were beaten, and even when some of them were killed and imprisoned, they just kept going. They just kept preaching the good news that Jesus was alive, that he died and was risen, that he brought peace between man and God. Why? Because they had that peace within. Because they had peace with God and peace within themselves that they no longer were fearful. They were able to be bold and courageous and trust in God's purposes and God's plans. See, because Jesus is risen and alive. And the peace that he died and rose to bring is available to us today. Jesus is alive. The scriptures are fulfilled. The resurrection was proclaimed. The big question of Easter is, are you at peace with your Maker? See, God extends forgiveness and peace to anyone who believes and trusts in his Son. And if you've never known the peace that Jesus is offering, then ask God to open your eyes and grant it to you today that you can have peace with him. And in peace within right now. And if you have received it, and you do know that peace, has it and is it making you a peaceful person? Do you fear growing older? Can you weather the storms of daily life with a calm demeanor? When life gets tough, can you look forward to being with Jesus forever? Do you let Christ's peace make a difference when you feel startled or frightened In other words, is his resurrection peace at work within this Easter Sunday? Are you able to say with Mr. Bear, "Ah, peace at last"?